if we make a mistake and then we have no new behavior that occurs, then that means we didn't learn. If you make a mistake and you take action on it, it means that you learned. And that is what's most important. How do you create an unshakable business? I crossed $100 million in net worth by the age of 28. Now I'm growing acquisition.com into a $1 billion portfolio. In this podcast, I share the lessons I've learned in scaling big businesses and helping our portfolio companies do the same. Buckle up and let's build. Being insecure and uncertain of oneself. That is not humility. Only letting others speak and never voicing your actual opinion. That is not humility. Constantly people-pleasing. That is not humility. Beating yourself up for your deficits and only focusing on the negative. Think about this too. If you beat yourself up, you are literally becoming a victim of yourself. This is not humility either. Humility exists on a spectrum. So on one side, what I just referred to, servility, which is overly attentive to one's weaknesses and oblivious to their strengths. Now, I would say that a lot of really great leaders start here. And because they are so oblivious, they try very hard. So I would actually always rather over-index on that side of the spectrum than the opposite. So I'll just say, if you relate, then I wouldn't say it's a bad thing. Now, on the other side, you have people who are overly attentive to their strengths and oblivious to their weaknesses. In my opinion, this one is harder because you have to get someone to see where their deficits are, which is like an extra step in the process. But in the middle, we have where we'd like to get to, which is an accurate assessment of one's strengths and weaknesses. So that is where humility sits. It is just an accurate assessment of what your deficits are and what you're good at. So I was having a conversation with one of our CEOs, and he was saying, he's like, you know, I'm really struggling with the fact that I think that I know what we need to do in this situation, but I've got these two other stakeholders that I have to loop in. And I was like, you're very good at making decisions. You should make the decisions. He was like, I don't want to sound arrogant. He literally said that. And I was like, having an accurate assessment of what you're good at is humility. It doesn't mean you're arrogant. It means that you're using your resource, like yourself as a resource to the company, in the best way possible because you recognize what you're good at. And when you recognize what you're good at, you can apply that strength to areas that's needed in the company. This case, it was decision-making. And he's like, you're right, I should probably do that. And so this is also permission to all of you, of like, if you have something you're really good at, you should be vocal about it and also try and apply it. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that you're arrogant to any degree. It's like, thank you for taking your strengths and applying them in the company. Like, we would like to utilize everybody's skill set. And so I really like this quote by Clayton Christensen. We decided that humility was defined not by self-deprecating behaviors or attitudes, but by the esteem with which you regard others. Generally, you can be humble only if you feel really good about yourself. And if you want to help those around you feel really good about themselves too. I love that quote because I think it nicely ties the two sides together. And so here's what I want to do next. I want you guys to grab something to write with or pull up like a pad on your phone or your laptop, whatever you're on right now. Because what I want to do is that spectrum that I just referenced, I want us to figure out where you sit on that. So we're going to assess ourselves. So we've got what we call the four A's of humility. Here's the four A's. We've got ask for feedback, acknowledge mistakes, ask for help, and actively listen. If you look at all the different things that go into humility, I would say these are the top four skills. Are there other skills surrounding it? Sure. But like if we break it down into what I think is most applicable for everybody here, I would say it's these four. So the first one is ask for feedback. I want to make this really tactical for you guys. There are two rules in asking for feedback. These are really, really important. One, ask specific questions. General questions lead to general answers. Vague questions lead to vague answers. So if you're like, how do you think I did? Like, I hate when people ask me that question. I really do. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm just like, good. Because if they didn't do amazing, you're like, bad. Like, what do you want me to say? It's not gonna be the best answer from the person. Now, the second rule, and this is following what we talk about with praise versus punishment, ask what you can do better in the future rather than what you did wrong in the past. So you see the first one, which is, we don't want to say like, how do you think I did? A great alternative would be something like, what's one thing I could do next time to make that a 10 out of 10? So like for me, if I was like, I'm going to ask the team for feedback after I do this. If I was just like, how do you guys think I did? Like, does it prompt a very specific answer? Probably not. But if I were to say, what's one thing I could do to make it a 10 out of 10 next time? It's like, okay, I just need one thing that would make it a 10 out of 10. And it paints it in a positive light as well. And so if we look at questions to ask, for those of you who want to ask for feedback, I've put what I think are like the top five. What could I do to make that a 10 out of 10? What one thing, if I did differently, would improve this the most? On a scale of 1 to 5, how did I do? What would raise it to a 3? What would raise it to a 4? What would raise it to a 5? What is one thing I could do more of to make this better? What is one thing I could do less of to make this better? These are fantastic questions to ask people, because if you ask specific questions, you get specific directives, and directives move you forward towards where you want to go, rather than asking for vague feedback about how you did. And so again, if we're like taking the frame of praise versus punishment, we don't want to ask for punishment. Half the time when someone's like, how do you think I did? They get insulted. People are like, eh. I actually not that long ago asked somebody when I did a speech, I was like, how do you think that was? They're like, could have been better. And I was like, Jesus, okay. That was a terrible question to ask. But I didn't do a great job asking for feedback in the way that I was going to get the best answers, right? I probably could have said something like, hey, what's one thing I could do more of to make this better? That would have probably gotten me a better answer. So here's what I want you guys to do. We're going to rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 5 on asking for feedback. So 1 is you're very bad at this. You ask for general questions. You ask general questions and you ask about how you did in the past. 5 is you ask specific questions and you ask future pacing questions. What can I do better next time? What would make this a 10 out of 10? Let's move on to the second one. Acknowledge mistakes. Acknowledging mistakes has really 3 parts. The first part is just admitting that you made a mistake. So I think in a lot of companies, you guys have probably been at places where they want you to hide mistakes. I literally said this to our new admin. I said, if there's one thing I want from you, it's that you're honest. And what does honesty mean to me? It means that you admit that you made a mistake. I will take somebody who admits they make mistakes over somebody who doesn't make mistakes all day, because everybody makes mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. I'm sure you guys see half of them. And so I want people to know that's okay. But if you perpetuate a culture of hiding mistakes, you perpetuate the problem that might have existed in a past company you've been at, where everyone doesn't talk about where they make a mistake or when they're not feeling great. And so the first piece is just admit it and exclaim it. Hey, team, I just want to let you know that miss on Thursday, it was actually my mistake. I mixed up blah, 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 which resulted in the error. Just own it. Be honest about it. And then the second piece is act on it and again, exclaim it. I have already put up into place a process in Asana so this doesn't happen again. Moving forward, this is to prevent any errors from occurring or missteps. Here's a link to that. Thank you all for understanding. You don't need to dwell on it. You don't need to excuse it. You don't need to even say why it happened. You just need to say what you're going to do better next time. I don't care what happened. I just care that you took precaution so that next time it doesn't happen. Because what is learning? Same condition, new behavior. Hey guys, a quick break to tell you that if you'd like to see more content from me that isn't just listening to my voice, you can go on and check out my YouTube channel as well. Just search Layla Hormozi and you'll see me in my face. Thanks again for listening and let's get back to the show. So if we make a mistake and then we have no new behavior that occurs, then that means we didn't learn. If you make a mistake and you take action on it, it means that you learned. And that is what's most important. And then the last piece is move on. Once the mistake has occurred, there's so much time, especially people on this team that are hard on themselves and try very hard to be a 10 out of 10 all the time. You rob yourself of the time you could have spent focusing on the solution by dwelling on the mistake. This is something I did for years, and I think it was about 3 years ago that I realized I was just done with it, because it literally makes you worse. You beating yourself up, you dwelling on a mistake, taking any time, you're just robbing yourself of future potential to actually do better next time. And so there's a lot of studies on this. It doesn't help you, doesn't help anybody around you. No point in doing it. So again, we make a mistake, we want to own it, and we want to say what we're going to do better next time, and then move on. That's it. So let's rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 being, I don't admit that I make mistakes, and if I do, I don't always change my behavior. 5 being, I always own my mistakes, and I make sure that I put something into place so it doesn't happen again. 3rd piece is ask for help. Here's the thing. Asking for help is a skill. When someone tells me that they don't ask for help, I'm not impressed. Truly, the best teammates ask for help in the areas they're deficient, they're learning, or they realize it creates an opportunity for another teammate in terms of growth, recognition, team bonding. I would say that the best people I know that are the most successful are really good at asking for help. Now, do they ask for help all the time? No, but when they need it, they have an accurate ability to assess their own deficits. And so then when they have an area of a deficit, they're able to say like, hey, there would be a better outcome if I asked this person for help who's good at this. So for me, I have plenty of areas of deficits, which is why we have an entire team, right? If I didn't, it was like, that wouldn't make sense. So a lot of the times I'm constantly bringing people in because I'm not the best person for something, especially the fact that I'm not doing your jobs for you. Half the time people come to me like, what do you think of this? I'm like, I don't know. You're the one doing it every day. I have no more information than you. But I'd say that that is something that I've worked on a lot over time, which is like, when do you ask for help? And so these are three things that really helped me when I understood why asking for help is such a positive, not just for you asking, but for the person who's asked. The first one was relationship building. If we didn't ask each other for help, we wouldn't have a lot of opportunities to bond with each other. And so every time you ask somebody for help, you have the opportunity to form a deeper relationship with that person. My favorite thing to do with people that you're trying to form a relationship is put them on a project together, because then they have to help each other to get to the end goal. The second is usefulness. People like to see the result of their help. So people like feeling useful. And most often it's like they like seeing the impact that their help has. So if you ask somebody for help and then you take the credit for the thing at the end and give them no credit and don't show them what happens at the very end, they're probably not going to help you again. But if you show them the impact of what their help did, they're likely going to want to do it again and help more people on the team. And lastly is recognition. People do more of what they're praised to do. And so if you praise somebody in public for helping you with something, they also will want to do it again because they like getting praised in public and there's benefits for both of you. So what does asking for help look like? I would say this is like the perfect way to frame it. Hey, name, I'm really struggling with producing enough calls for the sales team. I know you have some really great ideas about how to do that. I was wondering if you had some time where we could work together towards a solution to book more calls. Admittedly, you're a fantastic thought partner here, and I think it would have a huge impact on the team. It's like, who's going to say no to that? But I think that a lot of the times, rather than asking for help, we just remain quiet. We say, oh, I don't want to bug that person. I don't want to nag that person. They've got too much work. People love getting asked to help with stuff. People love feeling useful and like other people need their help. And so you actually do them a favor by asking. And so if you've ever been the type of person that's like, I don't like to ask for help. I don't need to ask for help. I just want you to know that doesn't help the team. So here's what we're going to do. Rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 is I never ask for help. And when I do, I probably don't praise that person or recognize them enough for it. And 5 is I'm great at asking for help and I always give recognition to the people that help me. Last one, we've got actively listen. People who are on the side of arrogance when it comes to humility, right? And they start off over there. Oftentimes you talk to them, you don't really feel hurt. And so active listening, I think, would be more for that end of the spectrum. And the reason that it's a skill when it comes to humility is because of these things. People are going to talk more to people who they know listen to them. So if you want more people to talk to you, you show them that you listen. If people don't talk to you, you might not be a good listener. That's just it. If you're like, not a lot of people talk to me, not a lot of people come to me, maybe you're a bad listener. That's also okay. That is a skill. It's not like you were born with a listening skill. This is something that we can work on. And so I just want you guys to understand the reason this is an important skill is because in a team, you want engagement and activity when it comes to communication. You want more people talking at more points in time. And so to do that, if you want more people to talk to you, you show them that you listen. That's it. It's honestly that simple. Like it's like, why is active listening important? Because people won't talk to you if you don't listen. That's literally it. They'll avoid you and they would rather talk to somebody else. It might not be the right person to solve the problem or to talk to, but they're going to talk to that person because it's more fun than talking to you, brick wall. So what does that look like? An active listening skill. There's really 3 pieces to it. The first is explore. So it's literally just asking open-ended questions followed by probing. Oh, interesting. Okay. Is there anything else that you would add there? Can you help me understand that piece that you just said about this? Is there anything else that you would put at this part? So you're basically exploring the questions that they're asking. So that's the first piece. We explore. If you're actually interested in what someone's saying, you do this naturally. But if you're not interested and you're more distracted with something else you're doing, then this is something you're going to have to work on. Because normally it's just curiosity-based questions. And so if you're not curious, you kind of have to manufacture it. The second piece is acknowledging. And this is literally just getting the person to acknowledge that you understand him or her, not the other way around. So it's literally, if I understand you correctly, this is what you meant. And so a lot of the times when me and Alex are talking, because we communicate differently, he's going to say a bunch of stuff to me. And then I'm going to be like, what did that mean? Like, what about this? What about that? What about? And so then I have to say, okay, first I ask like probably like 27 questions. I'm like, what about this? What about that? Blah, blah, blah. Like he's telling me the book launch plan. So I ask like 17,000 questions. And then I repeat back to him what I think he meant and what it means. Okay, so this means this is the plan to launch the book, right? Is that accurate? And he's like, yes. I'm like, got it. And the last piece after you've done that is just respond. And again, this part is up to you. There's no right way to respond to somebody. But once you actually understand what the person has said, your response is probably going to be more thoughtful and targeted. So again, explore, acknowledge, and respond. That is how we actively listen to someone. So what we're going to do is just rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 5. So 1, nobody wants to talk to you, and you don't listen to people, and you recognize that right now. I do not show that I'm listening. I just sit there as the recipient of their words, which is also okay. We can work on that. Or 5 is like, you're very actively engaged when someone is giving you information, and you will ask questions until you comprehend what they say. And people want to talk to you. I'm telling you, like, if you look at people in the company who most people like talking to, it's because they're good listeners. What was your lowest score? I want you to circle it right now. And then where can you improve to actually operationalize this humility? That's really the question, because like talking about it all day, not exciting. But like doing something about it and committing to something, very exciting.